December entitled Jesus the Gift Who Keeps on Giving. Just to bring us into the landscape of something that I want to get into this morning. I want us to take a clear look at some things that God is unraveling and showing us. We are right there. We are looking at the beginning of everything. The world will say, well, the end is near. Well, that's the beginning of everything. Right. With us, I mean, that's the beginning. And, you know, the Bible says this. Well, if we're going to look at the Bible, we need to know what we're doing here, right? So this is our confession that we do every Sunday. And let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. And this word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So God is speaking to us in Isaiah. Remember the former things of old. Now he's talking about creation. He's talking about the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh and slavery. He's talking about the entrance into the promised land. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. If you want to know the end of a thing, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you know exactly where they're going? And you want to stop them? Is that right? Well, you know what? That could come because of experience that you have. It could come because you know them very well. But if you know the Word of God, and the Word of God lives big in you and dwells richly in you, you are going to know exactly what God wants you to know. He wants you to know the end from the beginning, and that's why he declared it. He wants you to know what's going to happen. You know why? Because he doesn't want you fretful or fearful and everything. He wants to show it to you, but you still got to do it by faith. You've got to receive that answer by faith, because faith is what pleases God. I mean, if he just showed you everything, you can know where things are going. You can know the season that we're in, that this is the end, but you don't know the hour. And even if you did, what time zone are you talking about? You see, it's worthless to name a time or a day that Jesus is coming, but you can know the season. And we are in that season. So if you want to know the end, all you got to do is look at the beginning. In that first chapter of Genesis, we went into this in a series that we did a while ago. The first chapter of Genesis shows the entire history for mankind, 6,000 years of human history. It's all in there. And if you want to know what the end is, look at the beginning. So what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Think about that for 5 minutes. Were made by him. Who him? The Word. That was with God, and the Word that was God, that was in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, cannot understand it, cannot see it. You got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. You've got to be awakened on the inside. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh. What Word? The Word who is with God, the Word who was God, the Word that is the life of God, the Word that is the life of God, was made flesh, became veiled in human flesh, and lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word is the life of God. And when you receive the Word of God, you are receiving the very life, the very substance of what God is. And that Word dwells in you, and there is no limit to anything that you can do. Why? Because that Word that dwells in you was with God, is God, created everything and made everything that was made, is in you. That Word, that same Word. Say, well, I don't got all of it. Do you have faith? You have faith in the one who spoke all of that? Well, then you just became unlimited because you're connected to an unlimited God through the very word that he spoke into you when light came and blossomed in your heart. Something came and you were different and you were changed. The word of God is the power of God. And it says this. It says he came to his own. Did I not give you that? He came to his own, and his own received him not, in verse 11. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is amazing. This is the greatest miracle of all the miracles, is the new birth. It's very hard to misunderstand these scriptures. I mean, you have to work at it real hard to misunderstand. And you have to have outside help on top of that to misunderstand what this is saying to you. I mean, if you just think about this for 5 minutes, look at this. The Word who was with God, who was God, the Word in whom was the life and light of men, that Word who made everything there was made flesh and dwelt among us, walked in us, died, became the seed of Abraham in that ground and started to reproduce after himself, after his own kind, through the new birth. He developed us, a new race, a new species of being that had never existed before. Jesus was the first God-man. You know who you are? He was firstborn from the dead. That makes you a whole lot more than what the world thinks of you, or you may even think of yourself. Not that you should think more highly of yourself, because none of this came from your own effort. You can't claim credit for it, but you can claim the credit for him. And what he accomplished in you, people think, you know, if I can't be like as good as Adam was. Really? Do you think that the redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished, do you think that that redemption was less than the original creation? There are things that we have not tapped into, not known yet, and that are available to us that we have not even, it says it has not, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? That's the only prerequisite. But he'll show it to you. He'll reveal it to you. He's already given it to you. It's yours. The God. God. See, this is the gospel. The Word of God is the very person of God. It is the unlimited, magnificent strength of his integrity. His word is his integrity. When you think of integrity, you don't think of an iron will. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bend. I'm bending. That's not integrity. Integrity is like the girders of a building that hold it. It's strong enough to hold the roof when 3 feet of snow are on top of it. That's integrity. the things that the Word of God builds into you are God's own integrity. His integral strength and forces are in you. His Word embodies the eternal nature and unchangeable, incorruptible, creative person of God who made all things through faith by creating for that which he believes. You know he believes in you? He believes in you this morning. He believed in you when he was on the cross. He believed in you. And he formed that whole plan of redemption all the time, believing in you. Believing in you. Notice it doesn't say here that one day the Word came. Before the Word came, there was no days. There was no physical realm. There was no time, no distance, no days, no nights, no nothing. Before the Word came, because time was created by the Word of God, distance and area and length and breadth and time, that was all created by the Word of God. There was nothing that existed before in the physical realm before God said, "Light be, light was." Those are the four words. King James says, "Let there be light." But if you go into the rabbinical writings, it's a lot more than that. God was speaking faith. He released it. He says, "Light be, light was." Physical realm started to recreate. I mean, started to produce at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. And it is still expanding. So if you take out your calculator and you spend a whole minute trying to figure out how big this universe is, it just expanded another 11.5 million miles in every imaginable direction. Every 5 minutes is 55 million. And you know it takes, I think, 9 minutes for the light from our sun to get to this earth. This universe, our sun is a small star. There are stars that are as big as our solar system out there. And these are orbs of just packed with heat, energy. These are magnificent pieces of creation. And they're just exploding at the speed of light right now. Isn't that? That's the Word that lives in you. If words mean anything, and they do, that's the Word that lives in you. Don't tell me you can't overcome a temptation or a test or a trial. Don't tell me that you're too weak to do anything. Don't tell me that you need, you know, if you're lying in bed and the alarm goes off and you say, "Oh, Lord, give me another half hour. I don't want to get up." Well, you're never going to find the strength that you need unless you get up. It's when you get up, that's when the strength comes. Yeah. It's when you get up, the blood starts flowing. It's when you get up, it's when you receive the Word of God that Word starts releasing its power in your life. Opening up your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your understanding, and enlighten you so that you can walk by faith knowing that the end has been declared by the beginning. And guess who is in dominion in this earth? You. Where the dominion was given in the earth to Adam. That never changed. That never changed. That was given to you, and that Word in you keeps on producing and producing. It's him. It's him. Producing and reproducing. One kernel of seed grows a stalk with three or four ears. And each one of those ears has hundreds, and then they produce hundreds and hundreds. The Word of God is a multiplying thing. That is a big, big, big Word. It's multiplying and multiplying. It lives in you. But somehow we stop at the manger. It's Christmas season, right? I just skipped a whole lot of notes here, but sometimes you just got to go with the flow. That's right. And he created it all for us. We were center stage as the apple of his eye, and he created it all for us. There's so much comfort in that. There is so much, you know, God's design is so meticulously planned out that he didn't miss a stitch. He didn't leave out one little thing. Not one little, and every little thing is going to be all right. He created it for us so that we could live in the wonder and power of it and bring glory back to him. The very things he placed in us, along with the multiplication process that he placed in us, he placed that multiplication process in every living thing on this earth, and it reproduces after its own kind, just according to the perfect law of Genesis. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. There is no limits. Because the King of Kings has made his abode in me. The word that created all things, I have received. It lives big in me. It is my first and final authority. It is my guide, my counsel, my empowerer. It is everything to me. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Woo! Glory to God. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't stop here. You know, if you go into any city, if you go into any suburb, if you go into any county or state road, you will see thousands and thousands and thousands of signs that say, "No parking! Don't park here." You gotta get the hint. There are thousands of these things everywhere you look in the cities. Don't park. No, no parking. No parking. No parking. No parking. No parking. Don't park here. Don't stop here. Don't stop here. That multiplication process that is in us is not just physical, just having children. It's not what he's referring to here. The multiplication process is everything that is in us. Every thought that enters our mind is the beginning of something. Every word that comes out of our mouth is the beginning of the genesis of something. Every attitude, every emotion, every idea, every vision, every desire, all generate or are the genesis of something that will grow up and become and then multiply again and again and again. Everything is the beginning of something. Yes, Simon, that's right. Well, let's keep going. I can see we got to drill down a little bit. The reproductive power that God has placed in us in all of its facets is more than staggering. And most of the world has no idea what it is, how it works, what is it. It's totally untapped or misused. A lot of that going on too. Like an inheritance that has never been claimed. Like a treasure that has never been tapped into. Like a power supply that has never been accessed. Like a gift that has never been opened. But once it's opened, it will keep on giving and giving and giving. Baby, I love that cry. Don't take him too far away. That's the most beautiful sound in the world. Think of the manger. All the hope that lies in the heart of a little child at the beginning of an eternal life. Gift that has never been opened. Once it's opened, it will keep on giving. So the word for today, folks, is don't stop here. Have you ever wondered why the universe is expanding at the speed of light? It's another whole message. Maybe God has named a galaxy or a solar system or a planet after you, and that's your job in heaven, in the next life. There'd be a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, when the fire hits this one, I mean, it's vapor. It's gone. And he will create a new one. Maybe he'll refurbish this. I don't know. I can only go into the word and go by what God reveals to me by his spirit. But a lot of that stuff has to do with then what we got to do is deal with now, and then we'll take care of itself. See, if you know the beginning, you'll know the end. Thank you, Pam. I love you guys. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Where was that? There it is. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know what Paul said? He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And the firmament shows his handiwork. God's resources are endless. And those resources are all in that word that he spoke to you in the form of the gospel. When you receive the gospel, all the resources of heaven. God's word is his very person, right? Isn't that right? The word was God, the word was with God, the word was God. And he's a creative person. His word is everything he is. Did you know this? That your words are the very person of who you are? That's why when you change your words and confess Jesus as Lord, a change happens on the inside of you. Did you get that? When you're no longer speaking what the world speaks, when you're no longer captured by the things that captures the world and speak. No, when your heart is abundant, filled with the word of truth, and it starts speaking truth, change happens. Change happens around. Just like that word of prophecy that came, that interpretation from Lori that came this morning. She can't even repeat that. I bet you can't even repeat that, can you? That's because it's under the anointing. And when it's under the anointing, when you change your words and you speak the things that God speaks, there's a principle that happened. When King Saul and Samuel told King Saul, "You'll see three men coming down from the mountain and you'll prophesy with them. And when you prophesy with them, you'll become another man." That was prophetic for us. When you start confessing the word of God, you become another man. That's why we're big on confession here. We're big on saying what God says and coming into agreement with him by our words, because you can't get saved without saying words. Can you? If you believe in your heart that God has raised him and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. That word saved is salvation. That's the recreation. That's the new creation, it says. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It talks all about it. I'm going to skip through a lot of this here and just go to, let's just make a comparison here, okay? Because when we stop right after we have a certain victory or certain whatever, and then we stop there, something happens. That's what the world does. The whole world, every Christmas, they come to the manger. And they think about the virgin birth, and they think about the angels talking to the shepherds, you know, singing glory to God and showing where the baby is born and all that. And they stop there. Some of them go a little further. They read where Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. And they just stop there. They don't realize all the prophecies. He's talking. Jesus is standing there talking to Doc. These are the greatest rabbinical minds in the earth. These men have memorized the first five books of the Bible. Some of them memorized the prophets. Some of them the wisdom books. And some specialized in the historical books and extracted principles of life from the Old Testament. They called those books of the Moses the books of the law because they were the laws of life. And here, and all those prophecies pointed towards Jesus. And a 12-year-old boy is standing for them, astonishing them, asking them questions, and speaking to them. They should have had some inkling of the evidence when Herod had all those kids killed. When the Magi showed up and disturbed all of Jerusalem. Then they disturbed Herod. Herod had the kids killed. Should have had some inkling that something was going on, and now it's standing right in front of them, asking them questions. You know why he was asking them questions? To give them what they needed to understand his answers. And they were astonished at his understanding, it says in Luke chapter 2, I believe. But they stopped there. Then some go a little farther and say, wow, what about all those miracles that he did? What about he stood up and calmed the storm in the boat? He walked on water. He healed the sick. He did all of these things. But I need to go to work. And the gears of life start pulling them back in. And they stopped there. You know, there was another guy who stopped. His name was Terah in the Old Testament. He was the father of Abraham. And I believe that Terah was originally called to go to Canaan. But what happened is Terah had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. The youngest boy, always the tenderest of the father's heart, is the youngest son. Amen? And Haran died early. He died prematurely. Sorry, Seth. Well, we're all special to God. But, and we're all equal in his sight. No, are they? No. dug a hole. I can't get out. Okay. King's X. Do over. But Haran died as a younger man, and I'm sure that broke his father's heart. And his father got Abraham and Nahor, their wives, and Haran's son, Lot, and he brought them all up to, he went like northwest. And he came to a city named Haran, the name of his son who died. And he just parked it there and dwelt there. And he couldn't move on. And I'm sure it had something to do with the grief in his heart from Haran, losing him. But then God saw Abraham. And he called him out of Haran. And he said, go to a place, I'll show you. And what, you see what Terah might have lost because he stopped there in his grief? He didn't go on. Abraham picked up where he left off. And look what Abraham did. Look at the harvest that Abraham is still reaping in heaven. He entered covenant with God, and that was the covenant that Jesus fulfilled. That was the covenant that brought Jesus into the world. And when he raised that knife to sacrifice his son, Isaac, that's what ratified the covenant and made it legal for God to send his son into the world. Because he was willing to give up his son, God could now give up his son without breaking any of the legalities of dominion or the God of this world or any of the legalities that the devil could throw at him. It was totally honest right out in the open. But Abraham picked up the ball and went with it. How about you? You going to let those things slide? Are you going to run with the ball? If the quarterback gives it to you, what are you going to do? You got to run. I hope you're out there, that you haven't stopped here. I got a lot of stuff here. But look at David. David came to the battlefield and watched everybody. They were watching television. They were watching Goliath tell his vision. Twice a day for 40 days, up and down, telling what he's going to do to the servants of Saul, saying he was what's the word? I don't know, intimidating them. That's one of the devil's greatest tools, is intimidation. And he is the perfect representative for Antichrist right there. And if you look at there's 666 all through that story on him. But David slew him. But he didn't stop there. He took off his head, didn't stop there. Then he led the entire Israel army in pursuit after the Philistines, who fled after their hero was done. And David pursued him all the way back to Gath, Goliath's hometown, and he held up his head. He said, it's over. But he didn't stop there. He brought back the armor of Saul and put it in his tent. David was a teenager. In other words, he put it in his room. And then he brought the head back to Saul and says, here it is. Where's my tax exemption? Where's my woman that you promised me? Oh, she was the wrong woman, though. But despite all of that, God still worked his will. Don't stop at the one victory and forfeit the rest of them, because you know what? In that he pursued all and got all and conquered and led, that he became king of Israel, and he was the greatest king Israel ever had, with all his faults, mistakes, and everything else. He didn't stop. We have no right to stop when we have the one who keeps on giving right on the inside of us. His word keeps multiplying. Every time you get a little insight into the word, don't stop there. Every time that leads to something else, don't stop. It is so intricately woven together, and everything is connected to the other, and it's endless. When we were in worship this morning, I closed my eyes. I saw like a blanket come over us, just a blanket of warmth, of love that was just filled with tenderness, fatherly stuff that was just. And you know what? The words that came to me at the time, didn't have time to share this, was, the Father in me, he does the works. The Father's in you. He does the works. The Word is in you. The Word of the Father that created everything, he is in you. He does the works. All he needs is your mouth to speak it. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Let it be abundant, and let it come out, and don't be afraid. Stand in faith. Walk in love. Don't be afraid to love the loveless. Don't be afraid that you can't go wrong by walking in love, because love never fails. And if it's a God kind of life that is in you, it's a God kind of love that's in you, the God kind of faith that works through you. People get faith mixed up with knowledge. They're two different things. Faith is a creative force. And it all comes from the word that came from God, from his heart, his power. He's in you. And it keeps on giving. We're going to close there. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We've got new insights for your word. How it empowers us, how it multiplies in us, how it produces wisdom, revelation, understanding, knowledge, and the workable things of your principles. Being able to empower us, giving us abilities that the world doesn't have. Lord, help us not forsake those by having our attention drawn from the things of this world. We're infused with the word of life, the Bible says. The engrafted word, which is able to save, recreate the soul. And we stand before you now, giving you honor and glory. Say this, I expect your word to produce in me everything that I need. I expect the Holy Spirit to fall on your word in me. Empower me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Increase me according to your word. I will think your thoughts. I will speak your words. And I will change everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.